one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good afternoon, evening, everyone. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show, as the song says every week. I'm your host, The Surfer. Sorry I'm a little late getting on the air, but things happen and I'm under the weather on top of that. And it's getting nice outside, so hope you're enjoying this little change in the weather wherever you're at, if it's getting warmer. Here to talk about comic books, of course, here on RantEMRadio.com. And if you're listening, hopefully you're listening live in the chat room. But you can also listen live on Stitcher and TuneIn, or you can listen on the download on Podbeam and iTunes. But what's better than listening to this show is actually calling into the show on Skype. You can do so at SilverSurfer_forever. Where I will take your call and we can discuss comic books. I got a new mic and already it's falling apart on me. This is what happens when you buy something cheap. Darn it. Anyway, what should I start with? Box office numbers. I got some to talk about. And, turn it down a little bit, the feedback. Alright, so the movies that apply to us in the box office this week, Rampage in its second week is number 2. It's dropped down from number 1. It added $21 million to its 2-week total of $66 million. It has a budget of $120 million, but when you add in the overseas total for Rampage, its worldwide total is $238 million, so Rampage is not a failure. And The Rock, you know, team him up with some cars or gorillas or Vin Diesel or somebody and he makes money. Or Kevin Hart, Ready Player One, which is in its 4th week, has dropped down to 6th place. It had $107.5 million to its domestic total of $126 million. Ready Player One, for its worldwide numbers, is always slow coming up, $521 million. Now, it's funny when you look at the numbers as far as domestic totals for 2018, the worldwide totals for 2018, because you don't see Ready Player One nowhere near the top 5 movies. That's a lie. It's number 3. And worldwide, other than that, in, let's see, Black Panther, Ready Player One, and 50 Shades are the only movies in the top 5 worldwide. There's also in the top 5 domestic. Black Panther being number one, at least for now. We don't know if that's going to get beat out by Avengers Infinity War, which is coming up in a few days, and I can't wait. I was reading somebody's message. Black Panther, in its 10th week, has dropped down to 8th. It looked like it was about to be pushed out of the top 10. But no, it hung around and added $4.6 million to $681 million domestic and $1,300,000,000 worldwide. It's going to be very interesting next week if Black Panther stays in the top 10 when Avengers Infinity War open. That'll be two Marvel movies in the top 10 at the same time. Something that may have never happened before. So let's keep our eyes open on that for next weekend. And Isles of Dog animated feature, Fox Searchlight. $3.4 million to its $24 million total after 5 weeks in the charts. And everything else is dropping fast. Pacific Rim dropped down to 18th. It's made $58 million in 5 weeks. A Wrinkle in Time, which is probably right now considered the biggest flop considering its total. To be making everything, even though $93 million is nothing to sneeze at after 7 weeks. Wrinkle in Time, unfortunately, did not live up to what they thought, and is only up to $122 million worldwide. So it really didn't make really any money overseas. I don't know. If it just didn't open up in a lot of markets, or they didn't try to push in a lot of markets, or people just didn't want to see a little black girl star in a movie with Oprah. Don't know for sure. Maybe it just, you know, people just didn't think the movie lived up to its expectations. But unfortunately, it's a failure. Yeah, let's see. So, got my friend Stanley in the chat room, as always. And he's saying what I already said on the show a couple weeks ago, that Black Panther was going to be screened in Saudi Arabia. And the first time in 35 years a movie was being screened in Saudi Arabia. So you're a little late on that news. Now I got some news for you. I really haven't even read the article yet, but I think I have to start with it first, because it's kind of sad. And you know, being someone who watched Smallville for 10 years faithfully, well, one of his stars, Allison Mack, is charged with sex trafficking. Now I just saw the other day movie open up, Sex Traffic, starring Paula Patton, where her and her man, and they, you know, they go out to this woods, to this nice home, you know, to chill. They come across this woman who seems to need help, and the reason why she needs help is because she's dealing with these men who deal in sex trafficking. And I'm about to give a spoiler, which I don't think is going to matter much, because not many people are seeing this movie, and it wasn't going to look, stay in the theater long anyway. Well, in the movie, there's a sheriff of the town, a female sheriff, played by Missy Pyle. And you're wondering what her role is going to be in this movie. Like, she shows up early when some these knucklehead bikers start messing with Paula Patton and her man, don't blank with his name now. And, you know, she tells him to go along. So later on, when she shows up and you think she's there to help, no, it turns out she's all part of the trafficking. You know, she's working with these bikers who kidnap women and drug them and beat the shit out of them and sell them out there in the you know, sex slave market. And now, you know, I've been hearing, you know, was hearing different stories that she was involved. He didn't know whether it was true or not, but apparently it may be true. It says actress Allison Mack, best known for her role as Chloe Sullivan on the Superman prequel Smallville, was charged Friday with sex trafficking and her involvement with a purported women's empowerment group that federal prosecutors say sexually exploited its members. News 4 New York reports that Mack was arrested in Brooklyn, New York by the FBI and was arraigned in federal court. She was charged with trafficking, sex trafficking conspiracy, and forced labor conspiracy in connection to her role with the group. And let me see if I can pronounce this. Nexium. That sounds like some comic book name. Her arrest follows the group's leader, Keith Rainier, on March 25th in Mexico on multiple charges of sex trafficking and forced labor. Rumblings of the imminent arrest of Mack, characterized as one of Ramirez's top aides, had circulated since then. Ramirez's attorneys maintains his innocence. If convicted, Ramirez and Mack may face a mandatory minimum sentences of 15 years in prison. The Justice Department describes the Albany, New York-based Nexium as a pyramid scheme that charges participants thousands of dollars for inspirational executive coaching courses and encourages them to pay for additional courses and recruit more members in order to rise to the ranks of the organization. In 2015, Rainier allegedly started his own secret society within the group, supposedly devoted to female empowerment, which coerced women into a master-slave relationship. The federal complaint alleges that Rainier, known as the Vanguard, had the women branded with a design that incorporated his and Mack's initials. She was identified at the time as an unnamed co-conspirator. As alleged in the incident, Mack recruited women to join what was purportedly to be a female mentorship group that was in fact created and led by Keith Rainier. U.S. Attorney Richard P. Donahue said in a statement Friday, the victims were then exploited both sexually and for their labor to the defendant's benefits. The office and law enforcement partners are committed to the prosecution, to prosecuting predators who victimize others through sex trafficking and forced labor. Wow, so I haven't even got through this article. This is on Comic Book Resources. And heroes, man, they just let you down once the cameras stop rolling and they're no longer working. And those royalty checks ain't as big as they used to be. You know? And it's sad. You don't really see a lot of people from Smallville flourishing in their careers. I mean, you got Tom Welling right now. He's on Lucifer. And he seemed like he's just a one season, thing. What his particular storyline is. And it's sad. Never the thing. One of the things about the movie I was telling you about was the fact that you think you realize that guys could easily do that kind of stuff, but then you wonder why women would do it to each other also. You know, and they're just like, I'm just, and the sheriffs are like, yeah, you know, this is millions of dollars, and you know, you mess with my money, and so. Who knows what her story is, you know, if all this is true, who knows? Maybe she herself was kind of brainwashed in a way to doing it. Maybe the money was too good. Maybe she just caught up with the guy who was doing it. Who knows? I guess all the truth will come out as the case unfolds. But it's sad and tragic. But what's also terrible is, you know, women being forced into sex trades like that. I mean, it's a lot of women. It's millions of women's here and millions of women around the world who's being sex trafficking. And, you know, more needs to be done about it, because could be your daughter or your sister could end up disappearing one day and forced into a life that nobody should, you know, be forced to endure. Anyway, I got that out of the way. What's our next story? Alright, so anybody who watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., knew last season, a good portion of it dealt with the Ghost Rider, which was, you know, Robbie Ray's version. Well, that actor, since this comes up, this is my browser now, you know. So, his name is Gabriel Luna. He's the new Terminator. I don't know if I mentioned this last week on the show or not, so it doesn't matter, you know, I'm getting old. Anyway, so Gabriel Luna will play the new Terminator in the upcoming Tim Miller's directed film, according to Deadline. Luna's other credits include TV's Matador and Freehold and Transpercos. I said that wrong. So, sorry, this. Natalie Reyes and previous announced Diego Boneta has also been set to star in the film. Well, what the hell is going on now? Unbelievable. Sorry, people. Technical problems as always. Let's see if I can get this out of the way as fast as possible. This is why I need callers, because I wouldn't be going through this, because I'd be talking to people as opposed to reading articles off of, you know, the net to keep you entertained. Anyway, so Diego Boneta, has also been set to star in the film. They join Mackenzie Davis, who's in Blade Runner 2049. And Arnold Schwarzenegger and Linda Hamilton in the Skydance new Terminator movie, which will begin production this summer. And I might have said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. We don't need to keep having Terminator movies. It's not going to work. It's a convoluted story. It's only so much you can do with a Terminator story. It's you got a killer robot chasing some people down, and they have to struggle to fight them off. How many times are you going to see that over and over? You're not doing anything new or different. It worked the first time, of course, because, you know, the Terminator was the bad guy. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was perfect for the role. And he was just like, you know, just killing machine that just couldn't be stopped. Then Terminator 2 worked because, all right, everybody loved Arnold so much. All right, so now let's have him programmed to be the good guy, and so it was different. And you had a different Terminator with more powerful coming after him, which was even harder to stop. But how many times you gonna see a Terminator come back from the future and chase people down and be hard to stop? It's just rinse and repeat. It's boring. You can't do anything different with it. And then what they should have did, what they tried to do, and they did it wrong, was tell us how the war between the man and machine went, and how John Connor saved the day. but they got on the wrong track with that. So it's a waste. Now, DC. The DCEU has been trying to catch up with Marvel with one fell swoop instead of building the universe the way Marvel did. Marvel got 10 years behind what they're doing. When they mess up, they know where to fix the problems. DC has just been trying to play catch up, not as far as quality, but just you know, oh, we got a universe too, and we're making just as much money. We're putting out films. And they've tripped, and they don't learn from their lessons. Well, now, of course, they can't even decide whether or not they should continue with a connected universe or just do standalone films. This one film that's about to come out, not come out, but about to be made, we don't know if this is going to be a standalone film or going to be part of the DCEU, because Steven Spielberg wants to do a Black Hawk film. Now, renowned filmmaker Steven Spielberg has boarded Warner Brothers film adaptation of the DC Comics Blackhawks. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Spielberg will produce the film with the intention of developing it as a directing vehicle. Jurassic Park screenwriter David Koppel is penning the script for the movie. Koppel had also worked with Spielberg on The Lost World, Jurassic Park, War of the Worlds, terrible movie, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of Crystal Skull. People realize that's a terrible movie too. We are so proud to be the studio behind Steven Spielberg's latest hit, Ready Player One, and are thrilled to be working with him again on this new action adventure. Warner Brothers Pictures Group, Toby Emmerich, said, "We can't wait to see what the new ground he will break in introducing Blackhawks to the movie audience worldwide." Now, in the comics, Blackhawk is the leader of the Blackhawk Squadron, an elite team of World War II era pilots created by Chuck Kudera, Bob Power, and Will Eisner. The team debuted in Quarterly Comics, Military Comics No. 1 in 1941. DC later acquired the property in 1956. The team also usually consists of seven members wearing blue and yellow uniforms with Hawk insignias. Using the Grumman XF-5X Skyrocket planes, they fight tyranny and opposition across the globe. The Blackhawks have been subject to a film sequel, a film serial, a radio series, and a novel. They also appear in the Justice League animated series, as well as the follow-up Justice League Unlimited. CW Arrow has featured appearances by Blackhawk Security, which draws his name from the Blackhawk Squadron. You know, it used to excite me to hear that Steven Spielberg was attached to a movie, but this doesn't do it for me. Now, I'm always going to keep my fingers crossed it could be a good to great movie, but I don't know if the youth of today care about a Blackhawks film. And the people that might care, well, they might be too old to even want to go to the movies. But, you know, a World War II era movie. You know, the last time we got a legendary director doing a, you know, fighter pilots from World War II, we got Red Tails. We was all excited for it. And it was George Lucas, and it was a passion project of his. And Red Tails wasn't as great as it could have been. And who knows what Blackhawks would be, so. Meh. I hate using that word meh, but I really don't know if it's going to be a movie, a decent movie or not. And you know, now we got Blackhawks, which doesn't really tie in. We're getting New Gods, which nobody really knows about outside of Darkseid. And we're not getting the real films we should be getting from DC. Because of Warner Brothers. It's always Warner Brothers' fault. Until they, you know, somebody says that DC needs their own studio free from Warner Brother interference. It's never gonna work. Now, we're in the sixth season of Arrow, and that's wrapping up. Well, the seventh season of Arrow is going to have a new showrunner. Oh, God. Now we go. Now we don't want to. Sorry, folks. Here we are. Okay. Moving. The CW Arrow has named Ben Schwartz as executive producer of season 7. According to Deadline, longtime executive Wendy Miracle will exit the series, while executive producer and co-creator Greg Guggenheim will step back and become the executive consultant for both Arrow and DC's Legends of Tomorrow. This leaves Schwartz as the sole showrunner for Arrow and Phil Kilmer as the sole showrunner for Legends of Tomorrow. Schwartz had been part of Arrow since the show's first season in 2002. She started out as a writer's assistant and rose through the ranks as the series progressed. Before she was promoted to executive producer, she served as a season 6 co-executive producer. We're also incredibly thrilled to announce Beth Schwartz as the new showrunner of Arrowverse. Arrowverse mastermind Greg Berlanti has said, she has been the source of some of the show's most exciting and memorable moments from the beginning. Beth is a true leader and a captivating storyteller, and we all can't wait for her to see what her team dream up as they take Arrow to the next big chapter. Well, I hope we're a female showrunner. We won't get some female on Arrow being weak and need to be either drinking too much or need to be saved or crying a lot. Because that's always, to me, been one of the flaws with Arrow. It's like they think the female characters, they have to have a weak female character. The first season was Thea, and it was kind of okay that she was weak because she was young and dumb. And then season 2, you know, she wised up and she became a stronger character. But they seemed to think they still needed a weak female character, so they made Laurel the weak character, and she started drinking and taking pills and looking sickly. And then when she stopped being that way, then they made Felicity the weak one. You know, she's pining for Oliver and crying and in love with him and can't do anything and don't want him to get hurt and don't want him to go out and be the Arrow. And it destroys her character in a way, because what everybody liked about Felicity was she was strong-willed. And I'm not talking about strong going out there fighting, but she spoke her mind and said what she needed to say. And you know, they kind of ruined her character, and they just been doing that with the different women throughout the seasons. And right now, the closest we have is Black Siren, she's not weak, but they can't make up her mind whether when she wants to redeem herself or just be bad. And for somebody who's murdered people, she gets squeamish when other people do violence around her. And makes no sense. So, you know, I'll be watching. Been watching everything. Let's see. Now, this is a show that I never watched. It had a toy line, which I never played with because I was probably too old. But I know people that was fond of it. It's one of those things, if you watch, it seemed like the people that watched it is fond of it. The people that didn't watch it don't know anything about it. And that's Mask. M.A.S.K, you know, stands for something, which I'll probably tell you in a second. So the Fate of Furious is F. Gary Gray to direct the live-action Mask. Hasbro and Paramount Pictures are pushing ahead with the live-action Mask film following the announcement that F. Gary Gray has been hired to direct the project. According to The Wrap, the movie will be produced by Hasbro and Gary, whose film currently out to writers. The company is looking for a modern adaptation with the focus on the youth empowerment. The film seems to be unrelated to the previous announced slate of projects between Hasbro and Paramount. The project will look to adapt the 1980 action figure and cartoon series originally created by Kenner in 85 as a competitor to the popular G.I. Joe franchise. The company was bought by Hasbro in the early 90s, MASS, which stands for Mobile Armored Strike Command. Command with a K. It's a task force led by Matt Tracker, with the goal of taking down a criminal organization known as Venom, vicious evil network of mayhem. Man, that's corny as hell. Venom. Vicious evil network of mayhem. You can't think of it. That is a corny name for some villains. No wonder they don't win. Gary directed the 2017 film Fate of Furious, which earned more than $1 billion over the course of its theatrical run. He is currently expected to direct an untitled Men in Black sequel starring Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson. F. Gary Gray, been around for a while, really on the come up. You know, you make a movie to make over $1 billion. You know, that kind of helps. People willing to give you more of a budget and give you more films to do. So I'm glad for the brother. You know, get yours in there, man. Make as many films as you can. Now, I don't know. Some people might say that, you know, Fast and Furious is going to make his money anyway, but, you know, you still got to make a half-competent movie. And, the final Deadpool trailer dropped this week. And, saw some interesting characters is going to be in this movie as part of the X-Force, or at least leading up to an X-Force. If you're live in the chat room, I'll give you a link. And so, what is I'm gonna play the video because I want to talk about the images that came up in here. Not while I'm gonna turn down the volume of the trailer as soon as YouTube loads up. Okay. Spin. Some more spinning. Alright, so of course Cable seems like in this movie he's coming back to kill a little kid. And we know Cable is from the future, even though he was born in the present. He's supposed to be Cyclops' son. I don't know if that's the case in these movies. But apparently, he'll know that this kid will lead to something bad in his future, which is why Cable always comes back to the past to influence things. And so he puts together a team, and let's see, you got Shatterstar. His costume looks stupid, but who knows, he might be badass. And of course Domino and Bedlam, played by Terry Crews, and you got Negasonic and Teenage Warhead coming back, and Colossus, of course. All to take on Cable. When is Cable going to be the good guy? When's he going to change his ways? And this is going to be... Now, we don't know if there's going to be any other bad guys in here, like, besides Cable kind of being the bad guy, even though he's not evil bad guy. But, you know, we only got a couple weeks before Deadpool comes out. You know, it's going to try to take some money from the Avengers, and it might. Definitely, people are looking for it. A lot of destruction, a lot of cursing. Deadpool getting shot. But the question is, will Deadpool and Cable team up at the end to take on another bad guy? That's what we'll find out. Deadpool 2. Now, this is a different director than the first one, because they couldn't agree, so he walked away. And, you know, I've been hearing mixed things about, first it was like Deadpool wasn't tracking well, and they had to do reshoots, and now you kind of hear words that people are loving it, and I don't know what the truth is. I just hope it's a good movie like always. Now, this is something that's going to make me spend my money, and I don't need to spend it on. With the Avengers coming out and me getting hyped. Let's see how many days I got left. Is it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I'm 4 days away from the end, from balance. And I'm thinking I need to take as much junk with me to the movies to show how much of a fan I am. And one of the ways I'm thinking about it is get the Infinity War, Iron Spider Bear, or Teen Group Bear from Build-A-Bear Workshop. That's right, Build-A-Bear. I made bears from Build-A-Bear before, so. No, I don't want a Discover card. I mean, I do, but they're not going to give me one, so please don't advertise Discover to me. It's getting bigger. Okay. So there's two new superheroes that have been have joined the Avengers Infinity War team at Build-A-Bear Workshop. Groot has always get a lot of attention when it comes to adorable products like this, but the Iron Spider version steals the show. As far as I'm concerned, the costume is just perfect. You can order your Iron Spider Build-A-Bear online. This is on comicbook.com. For $28, the Teen Groot Bear is available here for the same price. I don't want to order one. I want to build my own bear. No. I want to go to a Build-A-Bear store and make my own. No. But they're so cute. Teen Groot. I am Groot, the last surviving member of a tree-like alien race. Teenage Groot Bear's gentle, giant, and furry friend. And then the Iron Spider Bear. The universe is threatened by dark forces, but Iron Spider-Man Bear is ready. Oh, I may sleep with them too. Let's see what else. Black Panther Bear. I can get a Black Panther Bear. Oh my God. But I want to build my own bear. I don't want to order a bear and have it shipped to me. Because you got to spend $45 to get it shipped for free. Couple more stories since no one's calling in. Check the chat room, see if Stanley's messing with me or not while this next story comes up. Stanley's been quiet in the chat room. Alright, so with all you Deadpool fans, the original art from the first appearance from Deadpool is selling for over $30,000. Now, I have that issue. I don't know how much it costs. I probably could sell it for a good price. Not to a comic book store, because they won't give you full price. They'll give you maybe a third of what the book is worth, because then they want to sell it for full price themselves, you know. So you got to find somebody to sell it to as opposed to a comic book store. Now, the story will open up. And it's funny. Well, I'll tell you what's funny about this. After I read the story, if the page is going to load up. No, it's not loading up. It's freezing up. It's not. Let's try to open it up again. Open it a new window. Oh boy. Where's Don Juan Needham? Where's Mr. Hightower? Where? What? Forget them. How come I don't get no new callers? This is just a lonely job when you don't have callers calling in. And next week, everybody, next Saturday, we're doing an Avengers special, of course, 8 p.m. Saturday night. You know, if you've seen the Avengers, we expect you to call in on Skype and talk about it. Because we're going to talk about it. And it's going to be awesome. Anyway, it just won't open up. There we go. Original arc from the Merc with the Mouth debut is turning out to be worth quite a bit of money. Ahead of its release next month, Deadpool 2, the pages from the character's first appearance from New Mutants 98 with art by co-creator Lob Wright Liefeld is up for auction with the initial bidding price of $30,000. It's currently scheduled to go live 8 p.m. Thursday, May 3rd. First published in February 1991, New Mutants 1980 by Fabian, I never get to say this last name, DeCeese, and Rob Liefeld featured the debut of Deadpool as the mercenary hired to take down the group leader Cable. Developed as an irrelevant wit and knack for breaking the fourth wall, the character quickly became a fan favorite and has appeared across forms of X-Men related media and started his own video game and in 2006 hit film. He has been betrayed in all his features appearances by Ryan Reynolds since 2009 X-Men Origin Wolverine. Now it's funny that these pages are going to go for a lot of money because of Deadpool, where now at the time Liefeld as an artist was considered very good, up and coming, you know, people was clamoring for his work, and then with the Image and they started seeing he drew the same things over and over and drew bodies out of proportion, gave Captain America big tits and everything, and then he became this terrible artist in everybody's mind. Well, now his art's going for a lot of money, so somebody will loan me yet some money, I can bid on a page or two, you know. Be nice. I'd appreciate it. Now, I just saw this today, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. But it looks like somebody's a hater when it comes to Marvel. And you can expect that when, you know, Marvel's been probably, you can probably consider them the most successful studio to ever exist. The closest one to that is probably Pixar, and what a coincidence, both are owned by Disney. And then of course you have Lucasfilms, who haven't had a movie that hasn't bombed yet either, and Disney's just crapping them out. Well, you know who's hating on Marvel? I don't know if this is true or not, but James Cameron hopes audiences will feel Avengers fatigue. Says James Cameron is giving Abe Simpson a run for his money. Cameron will still threaten the world with no less than 3 Avatar sequels. Hopes audiences will soon feel tired of the Avengers movie to make way for new ideas. Cameron, who endorses Terminator Genesis and called Wonder Woman a step backwards for women, was speaking with reporters about his new documentary series, AMC's Visionary, James Cameron's story of science and fiction when he took aim at Earth's mightiest heroes. He says, quote, I'm hoping we'll start getting Avengers fatigue here pretty soon. Not that I don't love the movies. Then why do you want fatigue then? Come on, guys. There are other stories to tell besides hypergonial males without families doing death-defying things for 2 hours and wrecking cities in the process. Hate, hate, hate. Why? You know, if you was making, you wanted to make Spider-Man at one time. So, it just sound like you just being a hater. Alright, well, no calls. I don't have no more stories to talk about. So, I will tell you about the other shows here on RantEonRadio.com. Starting tomorrow, there is the Sports Report at 11:15. Probably go over some NBA playoffs and some hockey and some other sporting news. Tuesday night, we get the doubleheader. Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m. followed by the Rant live at 9 p.m. Friday is Rant and Wrestling, and then live at 9 p.m. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. This Saturday, 8 p.m., we're doing an Avengers special live. And then I'll be back on the air next Sunday for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, where I will do the Free Comic Book Day preview show. And of course, tell you what Avengers did at the box office and so on. So with that, thank you, Stanley, for always supporting me and loving me from whatever cave you are hiding in this week. Thank you for listening. If you listen live, it'd be better, but I know you listen on the download. And thank you, Marvel, for making the Avengers, which I'll be seeing at 7 p.m. in IMAX next week, next Thursday. And so with that, I'm going to say good night. See you next week. Peace.